Well, I do desire your prayers. I read something the other day. Someone said that most people never live in the present time, that they live thinking about what used to be. They think about the past, about what they was in the past or what times were like in the past, or they're always anticipating something in the future, but they never really focus on what's really going on right now. And I thought about that, and I thought about how many times I've done that too. And another old saying is that hell, the road to hell, is paved with good intentions. And I think that's somewhat of a true statement too. I think that a lot of times we have an idea. I think people do. I think people, a lot of people that have the knowledge and understanding of it, says, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be saved before I leave this world. I think even religious people many times will think, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm going to be what I ought to be one of these days. I don't really have the experience that I know I should have, but one of these days I'm going to have it. Or I know I need to take care of that little thing in my life, and I'm going to take care of it one of these days. I may owe someone an apology, and one of these days I'm going to get around to doing it. Or I have this little disposition in my life that hinders me. An anger maybe that comes up in me. Or I have a little element in my life that I'm not satisfied with. And one of these days, I have a full intention of taking care of that. But you know, it's real easy to put things off, isn't it? Well, I wrote on the board the word now. And that's what the Lord's impressed my mind with. Now. Whatever it is that needs to be done, now's a good time to do it. The best time to take care of a matter is now. And there's reasons for that that we all know. Primarily reason is that how often is it that we hear, and we always assume it won't happen to us, but how often do we hear of somebody that just steps off into eternity? Real quick. How often do we hear of someone that's not any longer have the capability to deal with things? How often is just in a moment? I'm so thankful that the Lord helped Brother Michael's son, because he no doubt was just enjoying the day with some friends and had no idea, and something happened in a moment that was life-changing, life-altering, life-changing. And how often, you know, none of us is guaranteed anything. None of us is guaranteed anything. There is no promises for tomorrow. Any one of us could have a major event in our life that would alter our life completely. Alter it completely. There's a little radio ad that a guy's talking about, and I heard the other day, and he said, I was riding a motorcycle back in a certain date, and he said, I was riding a motorcycle and I lost control. And I skidded off and I hit an embankment, and I knew immediately that I was paralyzed. And he said, I'm thankful to God and for my family and for the medical people and all those that helped me to get some of my mobility back. But he said, I was altered in a second, in a moment. My whole life was changed forever. All my life's different now. I can't do what I used to. And he said, and it was an advertisement for people that ride motorcycles, and it is just simply saying, always wear your helmet and be careful on the curves. There's gravel. Be careful because your life can change. But you know, I can broaden that out. It ain't just for motorcycle riders. Our life can change in a moment. In a little bit, you may not have the capacity to take care of the needs in your life. 2 minutes from now, you may not have the ability to take care of the things that you need to take care of. And so it is a stirring idea that now is where we gotta live. If we borrow from, there's a lot of good things to borrow from history. We learn from history. We have a history of this congregation that's mentioned every once in a while that encourages us. The history of faithful people. It's nothing wrong with reflecting back on what we've learned and what we know. But I can also reflect back on what I used to be or what I was. And I guess there's always the memory of better times or other times. But we don't live there. We don't live there. We got to deal with the reality of this moment. Or I can say, and I do this a lot, Lord help me, I'll even take a nice day like this, and maybe I've got something that I'm anticipating or looking forward to, and so I'm always casting out my mind and thinking about, oh, I can't wait. This is going to be, this is coming maybe Friday, or Friday we're going to get to do this, or whatever, but what about, you know, I may never get to be there Friday. But we're living in this moment of time, now. I want to look at a scripture in the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'll start with the first verse. It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, I wanted to make a few points on this. He said that you not receive the grace of God in vain, or to no point, or to emptiness, but that the grace of God is come. It is for the now. The grace of God is for now. We sometimes will think, well, what if? Well, I like what Sister Rich said about what if. Said, what ifs don't come from God, because God already knows what's going to happen. What ifs usually come from the enemy. What if this happens, or what if this happens? A lot of times we assume that we ought to have grace for the what ifs, but the what ifs don't come, so we don't need grace for them. You know what we need grace for? We need it to be that the grace of God is not in vain. We haven't received this promise or this grace that the Lord's given us in vain, but the grace of God is for now. It is for the moment. It is for the conquering things of our life. The grace of God is for us to have the sweet attitude. It is for, the grace of God is to help conquer that temper that's out of control. The grace of God is there for it to be able to say, I'm sorry, I didn't do you right, or I didn't say that right, or I said something one time out of bitterness that I shouldn't have said, or whatever it is. The grace of God, it hasn't come in vain, and he's saying, don't allow it to be in vain, but now, use it now. God has given us the power and the ability to be able to use this, to be able to help us in our lives, that we would be able to be what he would have us to be. So it is now, because we can look and say, and what a trick of the devil it really is for us to say, I'm going to take care of that one of these days. You know, most of the time, it keeps putting off. I'm not saying everything does, but there is an element about putting something off that continues to be put off and to be put off. Listen, I'm the kind of person that does only what he has to do, generally, has to do at the time, and everything else is what I want to do that I never do. I've got a lot of things that I want to do. And I keep thinking, the next time I get extra money, or the next time I get into this position, or the next time I know some things that really need to be done, and I'm going to do them, and I'm going to do them, and some of those things are on a list that's been put back that's years old, and I still intend, I think that one of these days I really want this to be done. And I'll give you an example. I don't even know how many years ago it's been now. I know Sarah was home and helped us. But we got enough paint to paint our whole house. And so we took off on the project, it needed done. It was an eyesore, so we started painting the house. We painted what was visible from the road first. And it looked nice. It was all painted. We painted the shutters. I took them off and painted them, put them back on. We did all the thing. We done the replacement windows. We done the whole thing. But we never painted the back side of the house, because you can't see it from anywhere but the back side of the house. But a lot of days, I'm back in the backyard and I'll turn around and say, oh, that needs painted. Do you know I have 2 or 3 buckets of that paint? That's set on a shelf that's supposed to be on that, and I keep saying, that's not that big of a job. I need to paint that. And I keep putting it off and putting off. It has nothing to do with eternal things. But folks, do you know, there can be things that has to do with eternal things. It may be very likely that I will leave this world with a lot of things undone in this natural world. That I have the material and everything there to do it with. That's okay. But it isn't okay to leave this world with things undone that needs to be done for my soul. That isn't okay. That would be a terrible tragedy. To have to meet God and have to say, I never took care of it. He prompted. He gave the grace. But I always put it out into the future. Now is the time. Now is the time to begin to... I appreciated the revival we had and the idea of the priority. The priorities. So this is going to be... this is the way I looked at it, this message. My dog had his rabies shots. And the veterinarian said, I'm going to give it this shot, but you got to come back in a month for a booster. It boosts the antibody, the system. Well, this is what this is, the revival. This is your booster. This is your booster shot for on what's appropriate. What's priority? What has to be set first? Because to be honest with you, a lot of things can be undone that needs done. It's okay. But there's a lot of things that needs to be done spiritually. Folks, that if you put it off, there is a pattern in humanity putting it off that seems to strengthen itself, and it becomes less and less likely that it ever really gets to be done. You know, the best time to take care of a thing, the scripture says about let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, there's a good reason for not letting it go down, because if one sun goes down on it, it's likely that another sun can go down on it. The best time to take care of a matter is when it's time to take care of it. Now. The scripture says that we not receive the grace of God in vain. For he hath said, I heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. This is coming from Isaiah. I forget exactly where it's at in Isaiah, but that's an Isaiah scripture. And it says that part. Then he goes on in this and says, behold now. Now is the time that this is going to work. Now is a good time to start taking care of it. Now is a good time to start setting the stage. Now is a good time to sow. Now. A man that regardeth the clouds, he's not going to sow. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to put it off. There's acceptable times. God has made time. Do you know there's things that if you don't do, you can't do them. I have a new 1-day-old baby. Well, refreshes the idea of priority. My family's a priority. People in my life's a priority. Do you know there is things that if I'm going to do it with my children, I'm going to have to do it, because you know what happens with children? It's not long. We all know this. It's not long before they grow up. It seems like we say, well, we got years, but you know, putting it off in years, days follow days, and weeks, weeks, and months, months, and for long, years, years, and before long, I never done really what all I wanted to do with the children. I never really got to accomplish them, because I never had the idea of now's the time. Now's the good day to do it. Now's the time to set the standard in it. Now's the time to set the idea of God in their life. Now's the time to set the real purpose things in their life. Because the truth of it is, as what is it? Ecclesiastes 3, I think it says, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun. And the truth of it is that if you don't take care of it when the season, it's season, You can't take care of it. There's a lot of things in life gone, left and undone that can never be done. It can never be go back and do it. When I worked for Allegheny Surveys years ago, told my boss, I moved from Webster County. Office was in Birch River, 50 miles southwest. Not too much south, but west. And when I moved from there, everybody assumed if he was going to move, he had moved to work. I didn't move from Webster to work. I moved from Webster east to Greenbank, 50 miles. Because I wanted the children to be here. I wanted to be here for service. I wanted the influence. And I made that move. And when I did, my boss said, you're not going to be around long. When I see somebody do that, you're not going to be around long. And I told him, I said, I have every intention of working here. I said, there's only one thing that would change that. And that's what God wants. There's a call of God. And you know, there come a time that call came. There was a time to respond to it. If I didn't respond to it, and when I did respond to it, I told my boss, do you remember what I told you one time? And he said, yeah. I said, the time has come. It's time for me to respond or never respond. There's a time for me to do what I've got to do, or I'm not ever going to be able to do it, because there's a window that's made for me. There's a time, there's a purpose under heaven. If I miss the purpose, if I don't deal with the now, the time that the Lord is doing, you know, many times there is no time. There is people that needs a cheering word, and you miss that cheering word, there may not be no time for a cheering word. There is a time where somebody needs to be the Lord mentioned to them, and if you don't mention it, you may never mention it. There's a time to say I'm sorry, and if you don't, there may never be a time to say I'm sorry. There's a purpose. Every time there is given a time for every purpose under the sun. And if we don't take advantage of that purpose, if we don't show that witness in its time, you know, there is people that will come in contact in your life one time. Possibly one time. I took an airplane flight back in July to come out to the Hagerstown area and then back. I had four flights. I was on four different flights. And each time I sat by a person, four times, there was four people that I will almost guarantee you I will never see again. I'm saying that I positively know that. But I doubt very seriously that my past will ever cross that again. If there was any purpose other than sitting there on a plane, if there was any purpose in the contact, I had one opportunity to do it for about an hour and 40 minutes, about an average on each time. That's all the chance that there was, only time that there was. If we live in one of these days, I'm going to be a witness for the Lord. I really would like to be a good witness for the Lord and have the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord on me, and to be able to say the right things to people, be a good, one of these days I'd like to be that. One of these days may never come. One of these days I would like to be the influence that God would like me to be in my family and around. One of these days I'm going to really show them how much I really think of God. One of these times. Now is the acceptable time. Now we live, if we wouldn't, oh, what I used to do, forget that. Or what I'm going to be one of these days. But what am I now? What am I now? Because what I am now is really what I got to work with. We look at ourselves higher than we should many times because we look at a projection instead of a reality. I project into what I want to be. I project into what I think I may become. I project in what God's grace can do for me. But not, I'm not looking at the now, what God's grace has done, what I power I do have, what a witness building. I am projecting that. I'm not living in the now. I need to look at myself for what I am right now. Because that's probably really what I'm going to be. I need the Lord to help me for what I am and to be able to say, this is what I am right now. Because there's a good possibility that's what I'm going to be tomorrow. And what I think about and what rules my life and what I do today is probably what's going to rule it tomorrow. So Lord, help me to be able to look at the now, not what I think I can be or have projected out there. There's good in that. But if I look at the reality of it, I got saved about 86. It's been a long time. I've been a long time at this. Always projecting out being spiritual. Projecting out one of these days. And you know, you can get yourself in a pattern and in a rut of things. And all that you ever do is project yourself out of it to, I'm gonna do something else. The scripture says today, and behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's no longer a reason to project this off anywhere. There was a time. There was a time, I believe, probably why Paul was dealing with it like this. There was a time that the Messiah was projected. There was a Savior coming. But He ain't coming. He came. The grace of God isn't on its way. It's here. That's what He's trying to say to you. It's available now. You don't have to look for it or project it. All of it is right there for you today. Look at another scripture in Acts. Acts the 24th chapter. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." The idea of that scripture is seek ye the Lord while He may be found is because the given there is that He might not always be found. Seek ye while the opportunity is there. Seek while you can find Him. Call upon Him while He's near. We know God hears everything all the time, all the time. But then the idea is that call on Him while there's a way of getting an answer, while there's an opportunity. God has made time and chance, time and opportunity for everybody. There's a space of time for all of this to be taken care of. And the Lord made it possible for us to be all that He would have us do. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. I will seek the Lord one of these days. You may not have the mental capacity to seek the Lord. Stronger than that, I believe that people don't understand their own attitudes and thoughts very well. And I think it's possible, more than possible, I think it's likely that the way you feel about the Lord can change until you may feel strong about being able to find the Lord. You may really want the Lord, but it don't mean in 5 years you will. Life might rob you of that desire. And when your desire is gone, what ability then does the Lord have to be able to talk to you, to be able to bring it back, to say, You need to seek. There's an opportunity for you, and yet there is nothing in the heart to reach out for it. It is possible to lose those kind of desires, those wants, and then the avenue is gone. So Lord, help us. I may see a sense. I may have a sense. You may have a sense today of something that needs took care of. It don't mean you'll feel that way a month from now. You may think it's okay a month from now. You may feel strongly you need to do something now, but it don't mean in a year you'll feel that way. You may feel like that it's perfectly okay to be that way. Over in Acts, the 24th chapter. Says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. O Felix, how foolish can a man be? Paul preached to him, reasoned with him of judgment, temperance, and Felix trembled. It's a blessing to tremble. It's a blessing to be moved by the Word of God. Felix trembled. He knew the truth of it. It witnessed down in him. The Holy Ghost witnessed to him in the words of Paul. And he trembled, shook from it. He was moved by it. Don't assume you'll always tremble. Felix trembled. But it wasn't convenient. Now, it didn't work for him. It worked for God. Do you know it worked for God, or he wouldn't have sent Paul? It worked for God, or he wouldn't have had grace for him. The time was right. The season had come. Felix, your day of salvation has come. Your heart's been touched. The Holy Ghost has touched you. All you have to do is step through the door. Salvation's there, Felix. And Felix, with the door open, him trembling, him right, his heart right to get find God, he put it aside. I believe Felix was honest in his answer. Paul, I'm going to send for you. In a convenient time, I'm going to send for you that I might find this salvation that you're speaking of. I believe he told the truth. But yet, maybe I will see him in heaven one day. But there's a great possibility I won't. For his convenient time had passed. And it didn't mean that he trembled all day. Maybe he did, and all through the night. Maybe it lessened a little bit in the next morning, and then by the next night, maybe he slept half the night the next night, and by the third night, maybe he had a good sleep, and maybe he reasoned himself out of Paul's words. Maybe the devil robbed him of the seeds that were sown, and maybe in years to come, he never felt the same trembling that he had felt before, because he didn't take advantage of the time that he was sent to. That's a fearful thing. The best time to deal with God is now. It's always now. It is always the present moment. It's the time to be able to make sure it's all right. It's always the present time. Well, I'll wait for the next revival. I'll wait for the next camp meeting. I'll wait for the next tragedy. I'll wait for something. There was no guarantee that Felix trembled again. And there's no guarantee that we'll ever feel that way again either. Or that we'll ever have the motivation to really to be able to do it. Now is the time. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. I know what the trembling feels like. I don't know how to say it. I don't want to tremble, but I do want to tremble. I want to be in the place. I say it this way. I don't want to do anything wrong that I have to feel guilt. But you know, it's good that you can feel guilt. Anybody in here ever but me? I've done it a number of times. Say, thank the Lord that I felt pricked. I just thank the Lord that I felt bad, because I know before I was saved I'd have never felt bad. But I'm glad I do. I wish I hadn't done that, but I'm sure glad that I feel and I can have the opportunity to take care of it. I'm glad that I can tremble. I want to be able to tremble. But when you tremble, make it the time that you can do something about it. Lord, help me. Help me to get this took care of. Help me to take care of the places in my life. Help me to be what I should be. Help me to not have regrets concerning my home, my family, congregation, the people around about me. Help me not to have the regrets that life will bring. Help me to be able to step through and take care of the time that I'm allotted and live for the moment of now in my life, the witness that I want to be. Now's a good time to do it. Now's a good time to start saying, I want to be an example for the Lord. Lord, help me to be that example. I've said this before, you all know it, but I probably won't stop as long as I'm alive, I don't imagine, and got my mind. I'll probably speak of Brother Jim. I was so thankful for him. I appreciated his moments, his witnessing moments. He seemed like he was always wanting. His desire wasn't, I don't know altogether, the Lord knows, but it seemed like when he was out, he was always wanting to make a friend. He was always wanting to meet somebody. He always wanted to be able to contact somebody and give them just a little tidbit. Not a great sermon or not a great thing, but he was living in the now. I got an opportunity now to talk to this person. May never see him again, but I got an opportunity now to touch their life, and I'm going to do it. It's why occasionally I like to get those phone calls, and it's somebody on the other end trying to sell something or do something, and it's why I like to take the moment. Just take the moment to be able to get into their life a little bit. Ask them where they're from, who they are, what they're doing. Try to contact, do something for a moment, because a moment's gone. Is that telemarketer, that one? The last one that called's name was Linda. I remember because my wife's name is not hard to remember. Linda called, and for a little space, we were contacting one, we were there communicating to one another. You think Linda will ever call me again? No. The odds would be way out there. There are strange things happen, but there was a space and a time that another human being crossed my path. Lord, help us to be able to think about now. Now. Now is my time. And you know, the thing about now is kind of like they said about procrastinating. You can always say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. You ever hear that? And then when you said you're going to do it tomorrow. I am going to do it tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do it tomorrow. That's what the procrastinator does. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And as the old saying is, tomorrow never comes. Well, I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. Now's the best time to do it. Now with my children, and a couple in particular, I will embarrass them. But sometimes you'll say, you need to do this. And then sometime later you come back and it's not done. And I'll say, you didn't do that. You know what they almost always say? I forgot. I didn't tell you to forget. I told you to do it. If you would have done it when I told you to do it, you wouldn't have had a chance to forget it. You wasn't in the now. You was in the, I'm going to do it when I get time to do it. And before I get it done, I forgot that I was supposed to do it. I believe that was a legitimate answer. I think they really did forget. I don't think they went on remembering just saying, I ain't going to do it, no matter what he says. I think they forgot. But there was a reason they forgot. They was right there, and they didn't do it. And it gave them time to forget. We live in the now. Now's a good time. We'll say, one of these days I'm going to really be thankful and praise the Lord. Well, no, right now's a good time to say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Right now's a good time to go, I'm going to set my heart to be able to do this. going to live in the present time. And I think that that's really what the Lord wants us to do. There are scriptures like, take no thought for the morrow. Why? Let it take thought for itself. Worried and anxious thoughts about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Live in today. I know that there is principles to where you got to sow today. In your window. In your time. You sow. You save. You do things for tomorrow. You're not saying that there's no anticipation for wisdom here. That if it comes, we want to have this. There's not that at all. But it is to say that if when the ground's ready, you've got to put seeds in it. If you wait too long, you ain't going to have crop. You've got to take care of the now day. Now's the day to sow, so I sow. Now's the time. Now's when I take care of it. Now's when I plant. Now's when I do it. If I go borrowing or projecting for tomorrow, you never know what it'll be. You just never know. So Lord, help us. I hope this little thought's an encouragement to you, or a challenge, I should say, that I learn to live in the now with the Lord. I take care of the things that need to be taken care of and don't put off, as Felix did and said in his trembling, and say, one of these days, I'm going to take care of it. One of these days, I'm going to be right in my soul. One of these days, I'm going to have it set the way I really think that it ought to be. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.